Well, good morning once more, boys and girls. We're turning to Exodus, the chapter 20, as ever, and we've come to the 10th study, though we haven't reached the 10th commandment. I suppose we'll be there very soon. But we're at the verse 14, and this is the 7th commandment. Again, the verse is a short one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now this is a sin that is most common today. You may not understand or grasp that, but it is sadly a sin that is very common throughout society. Little is thought of committing the sin, either by those who do commit it or by society in general. But let me tell you, God takes note of it and is grieved and vexed and angry, as he is whenever any of his commandments are broken. Let me start by saying that this commandment forbids men and women who are not married to live as if they were. In other words, it's a commandment that upholds the union of marriage. That's what God requires. If a man and woman find an affection growing up within their hearts, God requires of them that they get married and take the sacred vows that the Scripture teaches should be taken by those who are getting married. Now, you may not know, and you could hardly know, you are a bit young yet to keep up with all these facts and figures, but marriage is almost totally abandoned in our society today. I was reading that there are some 65%, that's 65 out of every 100 couples who are living together as man and wife are not man and wife. They're not married. They have abandoned marriage. They don't believe in marriage. And thus they defy God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 4, we have this little statement by God. Marriage is honorable. Honorable. It's commended by God. It was intended by God. The very first marriage was conducted by the Lord himself between Adam and Eve. He has endorsed marriage in the New Testament as well, because at the very beginning of the Gospel of John, we read of the Lord Jesus attending a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now, he wouldn't have gone there had he not approved of marriage. And by going there, he was signaling, this is the proper way for a man and woman who love each other to begin their life together. That verse I referred to in Hebrews chapter 13 that says marriage is honorable ends with a very solemn warning. Adulterers, God will judge. God will judge. Those who abandon God's law don't realize that down the road, awaiting them, because they have done this and broken God's law, judgment, God's judgment, awaits them. Now, the second thing I want to emphasize to you, it's important that you grow up with an awareness of this. I'm just thinking now, back to when I was a boy, your age and less, I was taught by my parents that there was a war on. The United Kingdom and its allies was engaged in a terrible conflict with Nazi Germany and her allies. And as a child, I was taught this is going on, this is what's happening. It was very necessary for me as a child to know that. I remember the first time I saw a bomber. It was very low, because back then, bombers weren't the jet aeroplanes that are flying about today that fly at a tremendous height and at a tremendous rate. But I can remember, I know now it was what they called a Dakota aircraft, an American aircraft, of which there were countless numbers used by the British and American forces during the war. And I remember it flying over where we lived, Kenai, just outside Listaskee. and it seemed so low that I could have reached up, or appeared to be, that I could reach up and touch it. It actually was flying out of the Air Force base that there is at the edge of Lough Erne, or was at the edge of Lough Erne. What it was doing over that part of the country, I don't know. Maybe it was just flying around, having a look. But I saw it, and it was a bit frightening to see this big machine flying overhead. But then I was aware there's a war on, and this aircraft has been brought over from America as part of the military build-up against the Germans who were waging war. Now, it's necessary for you to know that there's a war on today, but it's a war of a different type. You see, this commandment that I tell you is being broken today, and broken on a very wide scale, teaches us that society is at war with God. Society is at war with God. You have been born into a generation that maybe more than any generation before, except the generation back in the days of Noah, never has there been, with that exception, a generation that has been so much at war with God as the generation into which you have been born. And that being so, you need to make sure you're on the right side in this war. When men and women defy this law, the law of marriage that God has set down, they show the depths to which they have sunk. Because this is a sin you can't commit in secret. Now, many sins can be committed in secret, hidden from the eyes of men, not from the eyes of God, of course, but hidden from the eyes of men. But this is a sin that's done openly. Men and women set up home openly in defiance of God. Such a sin in the very recent past was associated with great shame. If a man or woman did break this commandment, the chances were their family had nothing more to do with them. Their neighbours wouldn't talk to them, because it was considered a dreadful thing to do. But today, in every village, and in every town, and in every city, and in the countryside generally, there is a breaking of this law. And nobody cares. Nobody takes any notice. Families don't act against it, generally speaking. They just accept this arrangement between a man and a woman that is contrary to the word of God. They just accept it. They say, oh, that's what's common today. We'll say nothing about it. Doesn't change God's attitude, boys and girls. God is grieved and vexed when people do this. It may no longer carry the shame that once it did in the very recent past, but that may be explained by the truth that there is no shame today felt by those who commit a breach of this commandment, because they are unaware. They're in ignorance and darkness regarding God's word. Were you to challenge some who are engaged in this wickedness, they may well say, what? I didn't know that. I was unaware the Bible said that. And anyway, I don't care. There's an ignorance of God, and along with that ignorance, there is a defiance of God. If you don't care what God thinks or says, you defy him. Just the way if you don't care what the teacher tells you, you don't obey. On the other hand, if you do care for the teacher and have a regard for the authority of the teacher, you obey. And so it is today within society regarding this matter. It's very prominent, as I say, very common. Even our new king and queen have broken this law. Every day they live in defiance of this law, as have other members, prominent members of the royal household. I could go on and mention very prominent people in politics, in Parliament, who have broken this law. There they are, lawmakers, telling the nation how they ought to live and passing laws by which we are governed, yet they themselves trample God's law. That's the society we live in. That's the wickedness that surrounds us. Now, when such an arrangement is made between a man and a woman, and children are born, you don't need me to tell you that those children will not be taught the Bible. They'll not be taught the way of salvation. They'll not be taught about God, about heaven, about hell, about sin, about what they must do to be saved. They'll not be taught about the Lord Jesus. How could they be taught, since their mother and father are living in defiance of God? So as a result of the breach of this law, there is a generation rising up that know nothing of God. We all heard something about the coronavirus. Maybe some of you even had the coronavirus and fell sick. Well, that spread throughout the country. Indeed, it spread throughout the world. And there were all sorts of regulations brought in to try and combat it. Well, here's a disease, a spiritual disease that has spread throughout the world. It always was there, but it has spread in these days to a greater degree than ever before. And there's nothing being done to stop it. By and large, the churches don't care. By and large. What I'm saying to you today is not said on a Sunday in most churches. The minister would be frightened of saying these things, because down in his pew are people who have broken this law. No, there are eternal consequences to this, not only for those who break this commandment, but for the poor children that are born to those who break this commandment. They'll not hear the gospel from mother and father, because mother and father have no time for the gospel. They live to defy God. So how could they ever teach their children to obey God? Their children see in their mother and father an example of rebellion. So everything surrounding the children is prompting them to live in sin and wickedness. Oh, what a harvest comes from the breaking of this law. I might say, boys and girls, and remind you all, what a privilege it is to be brought up as was Timothy. Do you remember what Paul said about Timothy? Remember what Paul said about Timothy? He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verses 14 and 15, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now that's the upbringing you have received. You have been taught, from you were a child, the holy scriptures. And those scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You've been urged to put your faith in Christ. I wonder, have you? Have you? If you have put your faith in Christ, notice that Paul is saying to Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." You're to do the very opposite to poor boys and girls who are brought up in homes where there is a defying of God and a rejecting of His truth. You're to not only believe what the Scriptures teach, but then you're to go on obeying, continuing to obey, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God commands of you today. I think I'll close with one simple little observation. I'm thinking of how that we have given us, again, in the Lord Jesus Christ, an example of what true love is, and how that it should manifest itself. Paul wrote to the Ephesians a wonderful epistle, covered an awful lot of territory, as it were, an awful lot of subject matter. And in the chapter 5, he addresses wives, and then he addresses husband. And by addressing wives and husband, he is endorsing marriage. you don't know anything about this, but let me tell you, today when we have to fill in various forms, as we do, your mum and dad do it all the time, you'll be doing it soon. And invariably in the forms you have to fill in what your partner's name is. Some forms will put in partner stroke wife. That's to accommodate those who aren't married, who can't call the woman with whom they live their wife, or the man with whom they live their husband. They have to just use the term partner, because such is the world today. It's a bit like a dance. In the dance hall, you change your partner. You dance a wee while with one, and then you stop and you change partners and dance a while with another one. Or at least that's how it used to be. I don't know what to do now. Well, that's the way it is today in this world, in marriage. And consequently, instead of husband and wife, it's partners. No ties, no permanence about the arrangement. But Paul wrote to wives and husbands, verse 22 and verse 25. And when he's speaking to husbands, he says this: husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. The greatest example of marriage is the union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. That's how important marriage is. It is only a copying of that relationship between the Lord Jesus and the people he died to redeem. He entered a marriage union with them. And when a man and a woman get married, even if they're not saved, they are obeying scriptures in that matter and doing what the Lord Jesus in a much more wonderful way has done. Are you saved today? If you are, the Lord Jesus is your husband. Oh, he's many things to you. He's many, many things. There's wonderful titles given of the Savior in the Bible. But one of them is, he's a husband. And being a husband, he cares for you, he looks after you, he watches out for you, he provides for you. Boys and girls, this commandment, though it's broken and trampled and despised by the world today, is one that we must observe and uphold, not only in our life, but in our view of a union between a man and a woman. We're not to approve of that conduct which is wrought in contravention of God's word. Think on these things that I've said, and may the Lord give you understanding. Let's bow together now, please, in prayer as we come to an end of our study. We do thank thee, Lord, that we have the Ten Commandments, and that by thy grace we can come to some understanding of them. I pray that the teaching of them to the boys and girls will mark them for life. Oh, that they might be guided into obedience to God's word. Bless the school today. Bless the exam that's even taking place now. Give that wisdom, that understanding, which only thou canst give. Hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.